Good morning.
Morning.
It's nice to be here again. Today is special for the confirmation candidates as well as for all of us. You may have been confirmed long, long time ago, but whenever there is a confirmation service, it serves as a good reminder for all of us. The baptism vows we took at the baptism, as well as during the confirmation, what we had done at that point. And as we look back, and for those who are confirmed today, we move forward together. There are some reminders for all of us. And the two passages for today's reading are just appropriate. Jesus took his disciple from Galilee all the way up north to Philippi, Caesarea. If you travel by coach, that is 1.5 hour journey. And if you walk by foot, it may take more than half a day. And Jesus took the disciples all the way to the north to ask them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples offered some answers, which they have heard. They touched the ground. They knew what people were thinking about Jesus. And then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And I think all of you are very familiar. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told the disciples, and telling us again today, that he had to go to Jerusalem to die for all of us. And Jesus challenged the disciples, and he is doing right now. "Take up your cross and follow me." And as we move on, as a Christian, there are lots of lessons for us. We have to keep learning and moving in serving him and his people. And the epistle reading for today is Romans 12. May I ask you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. And this is a familiar passage. All of you should be familiar with this. But as you come to verse 1 of chapter 12, "I beseech you, therefore," whenever you read "therefore" in Paul's epistles, it doesn't come out of the blue. You should go back to find it, the link before the "therefore." Just like we approach any books in the Bible, I told you about Luke's Gospel. There are three parts. Chapter 1 to 9 is about who is Jesus. 10 to 18 of Luke is about following Jesus. And 19 all the way to 24 is finished. So whenever you approach a book, get hold of the structure first. And as we approach Romans, same thing. Chapters 1 to 8 talk about justification by faith. And this is so important. After you accepted Christ, you grow in the church. And you bow to ask some very basic doctrinal issues. And Romans would come straight away from chapters 1 all the way to 8. Justification by faith, not by work. And you need to understand that again and again. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul said the gospel would be preached to first the Jews, then the Gentiles. And Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 4. Jesus said salvation is first given to the Jews. And we need to understand this. And Paul uses three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, to talk about this issue. And you need to understand this as you move into chapter 12. So when Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what you ought to do. But what is the therefore? You need to go back a bit. So if you go back to chapter 11, verse 25, lest you be wise in your own sight. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And verse 26, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. Paul is talking about the end time, the second coming of Christ Jesus. And many of you would understand, before the second coming, there will be heavenly signs, an earthly event. There will be wars, fighting, famine, earthquake, all these issues. You may know that only until the gospel is preached to the whole earth. Otherwise, Jesus won't come in glory. So in order to fulfill all these criteria and conditions, we watch out for the earthly events. As you can see, the end time is getting closer and closer. And there are heavenly signs, especially for this year and next year. It will be good for all of us to pay attention of all this. But today I want to draw your attention to the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So when the gospel is preached to the whole earth and the number of Gentiles is filled up. And the next thing is important. All Israel will be saved. But there is another very important condition for the second coming of Christ Jesus. And Paul spent half a chapter in Ephesians, the second half of Ephesians, to talk about this. But this is overlooked by most Christians. Yes, the gospel must be preached to everywhere and everyone. And the number of Gentiles is full. Then the Israel will be saved. These are all important. But there is one more thing. The Gentile Christians like us, we were Gentile. But now, because of Christ Jesus, we believe in Him and receive the salvation. We become the true Israel. And what is the meaning of Israel? I told you before, and you need to remember. In the Hebrew characters, each character carries an image. And when you put the characters together, you get another picture. When few images come together, form a word, and then you get another picture, which is the meaning of the word. So when you see Israel as translated into English, end with E-L, that is God, El Shaddai, E-L, God. So whenever you see E-L, it means God or of God or God's something. So when you read Samuel, Daniel, Joel, Carmel, all end with E-L. And like Carmel is God's vineyard. And that is the meaning. And what about Israel? Is man. And Israel, strong. So you put man, strong, and God together. What is the meaning of Israel? God's strong man, or strong man of God. So you understand as you go back to Genesis, Jacob fought with the angels, and the angels told him, don't call your name Jacob anymore. You should be called Israel. And that meaning is you are the strong man of God. And today, as we come to Christ and become a son of God, all of us, through Christ, we are a strong man of God. But there is a partition, a division between the Jews and the Gentile. And there is a prophecy in Ephesians chapter 2, second half of chapter 2. Until the Christian, the Gentile Christian, and the Jews become one. Otherwise, Christ will not come in glory. And if you pray like John, Lord, please come. Come quickly. Maranatha. Amen. Lord, comes. We need to work towards this unity. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, therefore, again there is a therefore, remember that at one time you Gentile in the flesh caught the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hand. So you can see the division. The Jews see the Gentile as unclean and uncircumcised. But through Christ Jesus, we become Israel. But before that, remember that you were at that time, before you accepted Christ, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that is the picture for us before we accepted Christ. And of course, now that we come to Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh in dividing war of hostility. Brothers and sisters, the war has been broken by Christ Jesus. And we need to come together, we Christians, non-Jews, and the Jewish Christian come together, Christ is coming. Let us look forward to that. So after spending three chapters in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul concluding chapter 11 by saying this in verses 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So if you can come to this understanding, you come to chapter 12. Therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. As you grow in Christian faith, you walk with Christ, you increase in the knowledge of the Bible. And of course, with the knowledge and wisdom from above, your word that you speak and the deed that you do, there must be changes, because you are simply a new man, a new creation. And now, based on all this, Paul is urging us, challenging us, offer or present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's not an animal, but you yourself as a living sacrifice. And Paul said that this is holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship can be interpreted as service, how you serve God or you worship Him. In the Bible, these two are interchangeable. In fact, it carries the same spiritual meaning. As you worship God, means you serve Him as well. And if you look at the Chinese translation, it's translated as serving. And in English version, it says worship. And what does that mean? What do you mean by presenting yourself as a living sacrifice? Remember, living. And Paul illustrates to us, do not conform to this world and be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And this is the guideline for our growth in Christian life. So from do not conform to this world. And how are we going to achieve that? And Paul said that in verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, and just imagine, Paul is speaking to us of this word. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. I think this is easy to understand. And this is Chinese culture. If you go back 2,500 years ago, this is part of the Confucianism. There were four important books. And among these four, one is called Zhongyong, Moderation. The whole book talk about you need to see yourself not higher than what you ought to think. And I tell you, this is very Chinese. And this is Chinese culture too. And this is very biblical. So do not conform to this world. The world telling you to go apart from God. And now I want you to focus on God and Him alone. So as you move on, you continue your work, your business in this world. And you still have a lot of friends who are not Christian. So you must put the focus in the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. From this day onward, the center point of your life, the most important things in your heart is God. Walk with Him, listen to Him, study His work, carry out His will. And of course, you are still yourself. And Paul urges us, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to. There is a not to, and then followed by but to. So not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you. The Bible teaches us to be humble. And that is the way we come to Him and focus in Him. And from verses 4 to 6, Paul used an illustration, a body, to tell us in the church, we are just like one body. And we must coordinate with one another. Otherwise, the body will have great problems. And we hear problems and divisions in church. That is nothing new. So again, let us use these few verses to encourage all of us, preserve and put in effort to preserve the unity that is already given to us. And this is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Don't waste time to ask to pray for unity. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean you don't pray at all. You pray. But don't waste time to pray for unity, because unity has been given through the Holy Spirit. What we ought to do is to put in effort to preserve, to protect the unity already given. And praise God, how can we do this? God the Father grants us the gift. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, tell us the gift in teaching, in prophesying, in exhorting, and also contributing, leading, and so on. I think you are familiar with all these gifts. And my focus point to this morning is not about gift, but I just want to tell you, all these gifts, I would say, are inborn ability. So if you were born a cat, you can climb. If you are born a duck, you swim. The mother duck doesn't have to teach the baby duck how to swim. It's inborn ability. So the gifts mentioned in verses 6 to 8 are inborn gift or inborn ability. And this born is not from your mother's womb, but born again in Christ Jesus. I think with this, you should be clear. Once you are a child of God, you born of Him through Christ Jesus, then you receive all this inborn gift and ability from God the Father. And from now onward, remember, our Heavenly Father is God our Father, as it is promised by Christ Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 12. Again, a very familiar verse. But to all who receive Him, receive Jesus as your Savior, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God. In fact, the correct translation should be the Son of God, a Son of God. You say, I'm female. Is that a lower of the female right? No, it's just the opposite. In Chinese culture, a daughter receives nothing of the father's inheritance, same as the Jewish custom. But over here, God said, once you are in Christ Jesus, you are a son. This is nothing to do with the gender. This is about the right. You are given the right as a son, and you receive what is promised by God. Because you were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of men, but of God. So as you look at all this gift, Paul urges us, let us use them. And I always like to quote Prophet Nike. It's not from the Bible, but just do it as we grow in Christ Jesus. So for those who are confirmed today, a big congratulations to you. Move on to serve Him and grow in Christ Jesus. And for those of us who have been confirmed long time ago, let's renew our commitment to Christ and use the gift from God our Father to serve one another and to keep, preserve the unity which has been given by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Let us bow before God, come to Him, put the word of God into our heart. Father, we give you thanks for this day. And we give thanks for those brothers and sisters who come before you and confirmed as a child of God, a son of God. And for all of us who were baptized and confirmed in your church, help us, give us the encouragement that we need. Remind us of the inborn abilities and gift that you have given to us. Help us to use them to serve you and to serve one another for your glory. And we pray your coming in glory will soon be. And we want to say Amen. In Jesus' name, Amen.